Last week, the Nolan Show revealed that an extra 4,500 people will be added to hospital waiting lists every month. That's over 1,000 patients a week. It's because the health service has been sending some people to private health companies for operations, but because of budget pressures, that has been stopped. Well, the UKIP MLA, David McNary, has contacted the show. And David, you've been suffering with pain yourself. What's been happening?
Well, hi, Tara. Objectively, I am an NHS supporter and I want to use it. I've tried to use it. But it's failed me, and I've got to say, this isn't about me, really. It's about those 4,500 patients denied access that your show brought to us all last week. And I'm not forgetting anyone else desperate for treatment. But where we're at, and I'm just going to say it, this decision is cruel. It's cruelty, and it must be reversed. When I heard about the story on your show last week, I just had to speak out and say I don't like speaking about personal things. But clearly the NHS is overloaded and it's out of control. We know that.
But is sending patients to private providers the answer?
Well, the fact about it is that the people who are taking the decision now not to send them, they really couldn't have any experience of pain, otherwise they wouldn't introduce such a callous policy. Now, let me just tell you, for 12 weeks I've been suffering from sciatica, and I mean suffering. I'm a natural scrapper, but this has been a very tough fight for me. My own doctor has been brilliant in helping me cope with the pain, but it has been a daily hell. I've lost weight, I've lost sleep, I've been sick with the drug after effects, and it's inhumane to keep people in pain when relief is available, and that relief is available from the private sector. And we shouldn't be deciding, you know, that there's any difference. If the NHS can't cope, and there is capacity in the private sector, then for goodness sake, put people out of their pain by using that system. If we have an NHS which is overburdened, which is really overstretched, you can't do it. And if I could give you this illustration. Last Thursday at 8:20, I spoke to my doctor. I told him I couldn't take any more of this pain, could he give me a contact in the private sector? That was a big decision for me. At 9 a.m. that morning, I phoned the clinic. That day, I saw a consultant at 3 p.m. I got a scan the following day, and hopefully I'm booked in for an injection treatment in my back this Friday. Now, that tells me where the NHS has failed, because over that 12 weeks, I was waiting 9 weeks so far to attend a pain clinic and hopefully a specialist.
And how much will all of that cost?
I've no idea. And I've got to be honest, I would be a self-funder. This is my choice. I will have to go without other things. But I need to get the pain relief, as much to get my own life back, my quality of life back, and to be what I am. People would stop at me in Stormont and saying, David, you look terrible. Ken Reid said to me, you don't look well, David. Even some of the shinners said, David, what's wrong with you? That was very kind of everybody. Jim Shannon, the MP for my own MP in Strangford, phoned me the other night to see how I was. That meant that people could see that what I actually couldn't see, and that was that I'd just gone down the hill. In terms of money, somewhere down the line, it all has to be paid for. The NHS would be paying the private sector for it. But if they had the capacity, they'd be funding it themselves. So I don't think money can be the issue. My own choice is, now I know there's a whole lot of people in those clinics, they're on schemes, etc. I'm not on a scheme. I've always believed in the NHS.
Is this the first time you've ever paid for any private healthcare?
It is, yes.
Now, there will be people listening who'll say, well, at least you can afford it on your MLA salary.
Well, that's fair enough, and I'll take that dig. As far as I'm concerned, it's my choice. I'm going to afford it because I'm going to have to give up other things. I don't know how much it is, but it's my decision, and I've talked it over with my family. My family have seen me, and as I say, look, this isn't about me. This is more about at least 4,500 people who've been treated cruelly. Cruelly.
So is there an inevitability then that we're going to have a two-tier system? It's like what we were just talking about, the transfer test.
Yeah.
The parents who can pay will pay the tutor, the parents that can't won't. Well, and then you're in the fortunate position, you can afford to pay for the pain relief, but there will be people sitting in exactly the same sort of pain that don't have the money to pay the private healthcare.
Well, I've come up with some ideas and some questions. I know the questions. I've seen it from both sides now. I don't know the answers until I really get, but what is the capacity and what forms of medication can the private sector cope with?
When it came to your own personal experience, so were you referred by your GP to a hospital appointment and you were just waiting? Is that the scenario?
Yes, I was waiting over 9 weeks to go to a pain clinic, and hopefully there was no guarantee to see a specialist. The irony of it is, as I illustrated, in 24 hours, that's all come to fruition going through the private sector. Now, what my argument is, if there is capacity in the private sector for sick people, for people in pain, then we must use it. I really am passionate about this, in that I don't see that the NHS can leave people in pain when there are other places that they can access to get relief. It's just a criminal thing, nearly.
But we're talking about money here, David. And it's the same situation, isn't it? You've personally paid to go private. Well, the health service then, if they pay for everybody to see a doctor who's in pain, then other departments are going to have less money. So where would you see the cutbacks if this health service, which seems to be a bottomless pit, continues to get money to serve everybody, then where would you cut back? These are the decisions, the tough decisions that those in government have to make. So what would you cut back on?
It is, you're absolutely right. It is prioritising priorities. Let me put it this way. It's not about money when you're helping people. That is the wrong rule to install.
Yes, but it's the reality. Budgets have to balance. We don't have an endless sum of money to pay on the health service.
Hang on a second, Tara. I sit in Stormont Mondays and Tuesdays. I'm on a committee, and I actually watch daily all departments out of control, all departments who can't manage their budgets, all departments who, quite frankly, are out of their depth. And there is the money there if we actually rationalise it and do it properly.
What does that actually mean, though, for people listening? What do you actually mean?
What that means is that we have a National Health Service. That National Health Service has a duty of care to everybody who's ill, in a sense. It doesn't matter whether that it doesn't matter to the patient whether that National Health Service spends some of its money in the private sector to cope with the capacity that it can't cope with. And there's a real issue in this, in that I have paid all my taxes, like everybody else. I don't owe anybody anything. But when it came to the bit of me actually saying to the NHS, hang on a second, I don't want to jump any queues, I don't want any special privileges, I just want to be dealt with, 12 weeks and nothing happening, and still nothing happening within the NHS. Now, what I'm saying is, there's over 4,500 people, many of them who were being treated, and they're just being left up in the air.
Well, report after report, David, has said that there are too many hospitals in Northern Ireland. So perhaps things like the closure of Dalriada and Bangor, do you think that's a good idea? Is that a way to save money, close the smaller hospitals, centralise the services in the bigger hospitals?
Yeah, it's all piecemeal. The health service is going from one crisis to another crisis.
Yes, but it's also growing at a rate of about 6% every year on top of inflation.
And so we need to recognise that, Cara. And if you don't mind me saying so, your generation needs to recognise it also. What are the actual numbers on the waiting list? And what are the real length of time people are waiting for assistance?
Well, David,
people, are you on an insurance scheme, a private insurance scheme yourself?
Nope.
Well, I would encourage you to be on one. And can the government, one of the thoughts I had is, okay, if it's about money, can the government, can they sort of work out some kind of borrowing scheme for minor operations in certain identified areas, a kind of mortgage for your body or for your health? Small borrowing is involved in it, zero interest, and it would be paid back over a short period if people want that choice.
David, just pause there. Sorry.
We've got to ease up on the health. We've got to ease up on the pressure. You go into the hospitals, you see your own GP. It is pressure, pressure, stress, stress. And I have nothing but admiration for everybody who works in the health service.
Just pause there for a second. I want to bring in Kieran. He's called in. Kieran, what do you think should happen?
Good morning. I would ask David, instead of ringing on the show about his pain, he should be ringing the people on Tweedale Avenue. It's costing £40 million a year, and that could go into the NHS instead of this protest. That would save a lot of that 4,500 people could maybe get their operations.
Is that a fair point, David? £40,000 a year, that's what the Chief Constable says it's costing to police Tweedale.
Everything's a fair point when we want to raise it. It comes back to the management of the NHS, how it's managed, what money it squanders, how it doesn't do things properly. And having seen both, I've got to say there's a different atmosphere in the private sector.
There's I'm going about the £40 million a year.
There's a different aura. There's a different different position.
Kieran, I think it's £12 million a year, £40,000 a day.
All right.
We need to give back to the NHS.
You're not going to answer the question
that it deserves.
Yeah, I mean, David, Kieran's right. Are you going to answer that, you know, straightforwardly? He's saying, well, there's £12 million. That would put a right dent in at least one or two services.
Well, Kieran's taken me into another discussion, which I'll gladly do with him. But I'm not going to compare Tweedale or anywhere else to that.
But is this not the point?
It's costing the people taxpayer money.
Excuse me, Kieran. There are reasons. I've already spoken on BBC programmes about Tweedale, but I'm not going to.
Do you not think that money could be spent on the NHS rather than here on about European? You were on about people in the house this morning that can't afford to go private because there's so much pain. Well, I would think that £12 million could go a long way to help them creatures that are sitting in the house this morning suffering over the head of people standing protesting.
Okay,
you should be able to come up there and say, right, cancel that protest. And let's get that money back onto the NHS where it belongs.
Kieran, yes, just let David come back on that.
Your point, Kieran. What I'm saying is this is a very serious matter of the NHS being unable to service the people that it's meant to. 4,500 people taken out of a private access, taken out of that because of money.
I'm going to answer the question. I'm away, Darren.
I'm saying that's cruel.
I'm away, Tara. Good morning. Kieran, that's the question.
Thanks very much for calling in. John, you have some views on this.
Hello, Tara. Tara, when you put in for DLA, they get a medical by a doctor down in Royston House. He does the medical for you. Then if you get ESA at the same time, they ask for a different medical from the same doctors down in Royston House. So there's two different medicals, there's two different money being taken out of the system. They're then going to do away with those doctors down in Royston House, and the government's going to bring in a private company to do the medical. So where's all this? There's money that can be saved right away. One medical should be quite sufficient for the DHSS instead of two.
That's one idea. Robert, what are your views? You're calling from Belfast.
Well, I think it's totally disgraceful, Tara, that David McNary has to go private.
He can afford it.
Driver, if you go into the independent clinic in Knightsbridge, they're packed the doors. They're forcing people into that. More to the point I would like to make is the Stormaker executive, the health service should be ring-fenced. The most important thing in this country is a good health service, education and jobs. And not all the rumours that there's going to be thousands of people put on the unemployment ranks. Now, I'm going to get real here. You know, what's happening here, nobody's addressing it. Everybody's going on about all the cutbacks. The most vulnerable people at the bottom of the scale are getting it. In London, there's more billionaires in London than there is in any other country in the world. So let's get the Stormont executive to stand up with their chest out and get over to Westminster and tell them, address the billionaires and the millionaires, even 2% in their multi-million tax incomes would wipe out debt or cutbacks across the country.
So tax the rich more, is that your view, David? Would you support that?
I would. I agree with that. I've always agreed with that.
As UKIP, that'll not be a vote winner at the general election.
It's all about the management of money. And it is not wanting to introduce, as far as I'm concerned, some kind of class system into the health service. The health service is there for everybody, free upon entry. And you're saying, I heard you saying there, it's all right for him, you know, he can afford it. You don't know anything about me and what I can and what I can't afford. What I'm saying is, I have made a choice to make sure that I can pay this.
But David, there's a big difference. Surely you could recognise there's a big difference between somebody who's on an MLA salary and somebody who's on benefits, and you may both have sciatica.
I accept that, and it may be.
You can certainly afford it more than the person on benefits or the person on very low incomes.
And it may.
And that was
be,
the point I was making.
Well, fair enough, but I accept that, and it may be by me making the choice to use my own money as a self-funder, I'm taken out of the list, and somebody like me who isn't wanting to pay for it themselves or can't, they might go up the list, but they're still on the list, is the point that I'm making. And the list is far too long. You cannot leave people for 12 weeks in excruciating pain and sickness. You can't leave anybody in that situation. And that's why I'm saying the health service is failing, and it's failing everybody. But where you can access, you've got to pay for this somewhere down the line anyhow. We've all paid our taxes. And where you can access some place to give relief, surely to goodness that's the right thing to do.
Chris, listen, or David, sorry, thanks very much indeed. I just want to go to another caller here, but thanks for calling in, and I do hope you're out of pain as soon as possible.